The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com. Why is Shakespeare still so popular? And this article was written by Arisha Ahmed. It's easy to forget that the world we see around us today wasn't always like this. Rather, it was constructed and shaped by a seemingly innumerable number of individuals, scientists and inventors, artists and philosophers, politicians and activists all had a hand in its creation, so many people that it's impossible to recall them all. Most of their names are now part of a tangle of threads hidden at the back of the tapestry that is the Western world. However, a select few have had such a profound impact on our culture that their names remain woven at the forefront of the Western world's collective mind. Such figures include the physicist Albert Einstein, whose name is now synonymous with smart, the religious leader Jesus Christ, whose name is frequently used as an exclamation, and William Shakespeare. William Shakespeare is a 17th century English playwright and poet who is famous for his works such as Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet. Virtually all students from English-speaking schools are made to study his work at some point or another. However, despite being made to study him at school, few of us are actually told why his works are so important. This article will provide 5 reasons why Shakespeare's works are significant and hopefully help explain why the enigmatic playwright continues to dominate the imagination of the Western world even more than 4 centuries after his death. 1. Shakespeare's influence on the English language. Few writers have had a bigger impact on the English language than Shakespeare. While a rare few may manage to come up with 1 or 2 words that make their way into our dictionaries, Shakespeare went above and beyond through his creation of more than 1,000 words. Such words include alligator, cold-blooded, and critic. But his contribution to English doesn't stop there. He also invented dozens of sayings. Have you ever heard someone say that all that glitters is not gold? Well, that came from Shakespeare. How about the world is your oyster? Also from Shakespeare. What about star-crossed lovers? You guessed it, Shakespeare. His influence on the English language is so extreme that it's ensured his presence continues to be felt even in the 21st century. It's difficult to forget a writer who's embedded into the very language that we speak. 2. Powerful depiction of humanity. Shakespeare strips humanity to the bone through his exploration of the varied experiences and emotions people go through. He does this so compellingly that his works are still used by many as a means of coping with their lives and making sense of the world. His characters go through it all. They lose and kill their parents, fall head over heels in love, rule kingdoms and destroy kingdoms, just to name a few. Reading his works is a reminder that things could always be worse. At least you haven't fallen in love with a girl from your enemy's family, eloped with her, and then killed yourself because you thought she was dead. Cough, cough, Romeo. They're also a reminder that you're not alone in your feelings. It's comforting to know that a 17th century playwright wrote about the same overwhelming grief and devastating heartbreak that you're feeling today. 3. Historical insights. Shakespeare's works grant us valuable insights into early modern society and culture. They capture the attitudes of everyday people in a way that's difficult to find in history books. It's not even just Shakespeare's historical plays that give us these insights. Many of his tragedies and comedies provide information about contemporary attitudes and beliefs. Shakespeare's play Macbeth surrounds a Scottish general who's given a prophecy by 3 witches that he'll become king. The play follows the grim events that unfold as a result of this prophecy. Macbeth reveals how plays and theaters were used not just for entertainment purposes, but also as a political tool. There were some who wanted King James I usurped, something that greatly worried him. By implying that kings have a divine right to rule and showing what occurs when the natural hierarchy is disrupted, Shakespeare cleverly gains King James's favor. Shakespeare's use of witches as the play's force of evil plays on the widespread fear of witches in the Renaissance period. Shakespeare used such fears to his advantage, much like how in the present day we enjoy watching horror films because they're scary. A play about witches would have had the same effect. These are some insights from just one play, but there are numerous more to be taken from the rest of Shakespeare's works. Clever wordplay and puns. Shakespeare's works are riddled with puns and witty one-liners. These serve as a way of entertaining audiences and are often indicators of a particular character's intellect and superiority. Including puns and one-liners is also a clever way of easing tension in some of Shakespeare's more serious plays. For example, in the tragedy Hamlet, Hamlet's razor-sharp wit adds some moments of lightness to the play, easing the heavy atmosphere. His wit is observed from the play's very first act, when he refers to his uncle and stepfather Claudius as a little more than kin and less than kind, which is simultaneously a reference to Claudius's relationship with himself and his cruel nature. 5. The range of his works. Shakespeare was a man with more than just one trick up his sleeve. The sheer range of his works has astounded readers for centuries. His plays are largely divided into three main genres: comedies, tragedies, and histories. However, even within these categories, no two plays are the same. Some tragedies include elements of the supernatural, while some comedies have vicious villains, and some histories include swoon-worthy love stories. Shakespeare's talent doesn't stop at his extensive plays. He also wrote poems. His poetry includes more than 2 epics and more than 150 sonnets, which tackle themes such as love, beauty, and aging. If you want to get into reading his poems but are unsure where to start, I would recommend having a look at Sonnet 18 and Sonnet 130, two of my personal favorites. There you have it, 5 reasons why Shakespeare remains the most famous writer in English history. Of course, this only scrapes the surface of why Shakespeare is so popular, but hopefully it has answered some of your questions about him and has inspired you to check out some of Shakespeare's works. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com, The Ultimate Recipe for a Netflix Hit, and this article was written by Arisha Ahmed. It's the question that has Netflix writers around the world scratching their chins and consulting data-filled screens. What is it that makes a Netflix hit? Perhaps there's an actual formula that, when applied, can cause something to become a hit, or maybe it's all down to chance. An edit of a show happened to go viral on TikTok, or a film features a currently popular actor or actress. Whatever the reason, there seem to be some definite do's and don'ts that, when followed, can increase the chances of something becoming a hit. As an avid Netflix watcher, I consider myself a good authority on what these do's and don'ts are. Without further ado, here's my list of what makes a Netflix hit. Realistic characters. An area where Netflix occasionally goes wrong is their lack of realistic characters. No one wants to watch a show or film where the characters are nothing like real-life people. When people watch television, they want to be sucked into the world of whatever they're watching. Having unrealistic characters prevents this from happening and can in turn decrease the chances of something becoming a hit. It is therefore crucial to have characters who viewers find authentic and convincing. Creating realistic characters includes having dialogue that people would actually say and convincing character dynamics. For example, I would never come down to breakfast, ruffle my sister's hair, and say, "Hey, sis." Rather, have the character throw a muffin at their sister or have them scuffle for the television remote, and I'll instantly be convinced that they're siblings. Casting. Leading on from this is casting. Actor choices are another crucial element that can make or break a Netflix creation. Audiences are generally perceptive and can tell if an actor has no investment in the role that they're playing. Having actors who genuinely like their role can in turn increase viewers' enjoyment of what they're watching and improve the likelihood of a hit. Having actors who actually look the age of the characters that they're playing is also important. It's doubtful anyone will find actors in their mid-20s playing high schoolers convincing, looking at you, Riverdale. Heartstopper is an example of a show whose casting choices make sense and improve audience enjoyment. The majority of the cast are of similar ages to the characters who they're playing, and if you watch any cast interviews or scroll through their social media, it's clear that the actors are genuinely passionate about their roles, something which is clear to see in their acting. Atmosphere. Perhaps a more subtle but no less important ingredient for a Netflix hit is a strong sense of atmosphere. Atmosphere is the mood or vibe that a show or film exudes. It can be created by music, setting, and often outfit choices. Atmosphere is crucial. For something to be a hit, it is not enough for audiences to want to watch it. They want to feel it too. A show that I would argue excels in creating a strong, evocative atmosphere is Netflix's Bridgerton. From its soundtrack, which features instrumental pop songs, to the striking outfit choices, every last detail appears carefully thought out, resulting in a show that pulls viewers in and makes them unwilling to climb out again. The power of a compelling atmosphere is demonstrated by the fact that Bridgerton has recently been renewed for a third and fourth season due to the positive and enthusiastic response from viewers. Strong plot. Basic, but a necessity. Shows and films require a strong, coherent plot that viewers can easily understand. Less successful shows and films seem to meander along plots, or else introduce plot points that don't fit with what has already occurred. For example, the teen show Riverdale began as a crime drama that was well received by both critics and viewers. However, the show's later seasons have expanded to include supernatural themes, such as superpowers. Archie develops super strength, while Betty gains the ability to read auras, to name a few. This sudden change in direction has left many viewers bewildered and unhappy with where the show has veered. Having a strong, deliberate plot also allows for things like foreshadowing and Easter eggs that viewers will only notice upon rewatching a show or film. Such elements are often a point of discussion among viewers and can make watching something that much more enjoyable. Original writing. Drop the cliches. Seriously, a show or film is never going to become popular if it's oversaturated with tropes and one-liners that have already been used a million times before. It will just make for a boring watch and decrease the chances of it ever becoming a hit. However, this is not to say that employing popular tropes is always a bad thing. If done correctly, they can actually draw viewers in. It's simply a matter of putting a new spin on them that will be refreshing for audiences to watch. This is particularly done well in Netflix's 2022 film, Do Revenge, which stars Camila Mendes and Maya Hawke. While the film utilizes some classic tropes, such as a makeover scene and the uncool kid transforming into the popular girl, it puts its own spin on it that I will not be revealing due to spoilers. I was already finding the film enjoyable, but the sudden twist that came had me hooked and cemented Do Revenge's position as one of my new favorite teen films. So there you have it.
my recipe for what makes a Netflix hit. Of course, there are other aspects that can make or break a Netflix film or show, but these are some of the elements that I would argue are non-negotiable. And I believe that getting these right can dramatically increase the chances of something becoming a hit. Netflix writers, take note. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. 16 MBTI Personality Types Explained. And this article was written by Rume Lee. Today, almost everyone knows their personality type. The tests are administered seemingly everywhere, schools, workplaces, and many take it independently just for fun as well. Humans are naturally curious to learn more about themselves, making the MBTI types extremely popular with both teens and adults. However, the use of test results in the workplace and school environments have raised questions about the reliability of the tests. What do these tests really deliver? And what is the science behind them? The 16 types. These descriptions were taken from 16personalities.com. Analysts. INTJ. The architect has introverted, intuitive, thinking, and judging traits. These thoughtful tacticians love perfecting the details of life and applying creativity and rationality to everything they do. Their inner world is often a private, complex one. INTP. The logician has introverted, intuitive, thinking, and perceiving traits. These flexible thinkers enjoy taking an unconventional approach to many aspects of life. They often seek out unlikely paths, mixing willingness to experiment with personal creativity. ENTJ. The commander has extroverted, intuitive, thinking, and judging traits. They are decisive people who love momentum and accomplishment. They gather information to construct their creative visions, but rarely hesitate for long before acting on them. ENTP. The debater has extroverted, intuitive, thinking, and perceiving traits. They tend to be bold and creative, deconstructing and rebuilding ideas with great mental agility. They pursue their goals vigorously, despite any resistance they might encounter. Diplomats. INFJ. The advocate has introverted, intuitive, feeling, and judging traits. They tend to approach life with deep thoughtfulness and imagination. Their inner vision, personal values, and a quiet, principled version of humanism guide them in all things. INFP. The mediator has introverted, intuitive, feeling, and perceiving traits. These rare personality types tend to be quiet, open-minded, and imaginative, and they apply a caring and creative approach to everything they do. ENFJ. The protagonist has extroverted, intuitive, feeling, and judging traits. These warm, forthright types love helping others, and they tend to have strong ideas and values. They back their perspective with the creative energy to achieve their goals. ENFP. The campaigner has extroverted, intuitive, feeling, and perceiving traits. These people tend to embrace big ideas and actions that reflect their sense of hope and goodwill toward others. Their vibrant energy can flow in many directions. Sentinels. ISTJ. The logistician, different from the logician, has introverted, sensing, thinking, and judging traits. These people tend to be reserved yet willful, with a rational outlook on life. They compose their actions carefully and carry them out with methodical purpose. ISFJ. The defender has introverted, sensing, feeling, and judging traits. These people tend to be warm and unassuming in their own steady way. They're efficient and responsible, giving careful attention to practical details in their daily lives. ESTJ. The executive has extroverted sensing, thinking, and judging traits. They possess great fortitude, emphatically following their own sensible judgment. They often serve as a stabilizing force among others, able to offer solid direction amid adversity. ESFJ. The consul has extroverted sensing, feeling, and judging traits. They are attentive and people-focused, and they enjoy taking part in their social community. Their achievements are guided by decisive values, and they willingly offer guidance to others. Explorers. ISTP. The virtuoso has introverted, sensing, thinking, and perceiving traits. They tend to have an individualistic mindset, pursuing goals without needing much external connection. They engage in life with inquisitiveness and personal skill, varying their approach as needed. ISFP. The adventurer has introverted, sensing, feeling, and perceiving traits. They tend to have open minds, approaching life, new experiences, and people with grounded warmth. Their ability to stay in the moment helps them uncover exciting potentials. ESTP. The entrepreneur has extroverted, sensing, thinking, and perceiving traits. They tend to be energetic and action-oriented, deftly navigating whatever is in front of them. They love uncovering life's opportunities, whether socializing with others or in more personal pursuits. ESFP. The entertainer has extroverted, sensing, feeling, and perceiving traits. These people love vibrant experiences, engaging in life eagerly, and taking pleasure in discovering the unknown. They can be very social, often encouraging others into shared activities. Understanding the 16 types. An overview of the test is essential for a complete understanding of the 16 types. E, extroverted, / I, introverted. To begin, the first letter of your personality type can be either an E or an I. These two letters stand for extroverted and introverted. Though pretty self-explanatory, this part of your personality type can have the most influence on your behavior. Personalities such as ESFP and ISFP are seemingly on the complete opposite sides of the spectrum behavior-wise. While ESFPs are described as entertainers and the life of the party, ISFPs are down-to-earth and reserved individuals who need time to recharge after social events. S, sensing, / N, intuition. The next letter of your personality type can be an S or an N. These two letters stand for sensing and intuition. In the simplest terms, people who are sensing prefer to get hands-on, are down-to-earth, and rely on facts and details. They focus on the reality of a situation and the present world around them while picking up information from their senses. People with intuition, however, are the opposite. They prefer to focus on ideas and possibilities, and rather than thinking about the present, they enjoy pondering about the future. F, feeling, / T, thinking. The third letter of your personality type can be an F or a T. These two letters stand for feeling and thinking. People who focus on feelings consider their emotions and the feelings of other people when making decisions. They can be described as those who listen to their heart rather than their brain. People who focus on thinking, on the other hand, rely on the facts to make decisions. They can also be described as rather detached and unbiased and think logically in day-to-day situations. P, perceiving, / J, judging. The fourth and final letter of your personality type can either be a P or a J. These two letters stand for perceiving and judging. People who are judging are more organized and systematic. Many enjoy having a rigid structure in their schedules. Perceiving people, on the other hand, are more flexible and easygoing. It is much easier for them to adapt to change, and they prefer to follow the flow instead of planning out their days. Conclusion: the problem is that for this system to work, the individual has to be at either end of the spectrum for the most accurate results. Most people are somewhere around the middle, however, which blurs the line between some of the personality types. According to the MBTI, everyone is dominant in one area or the other, and the foundation for the test is based on this theory. As a result, most people can find a little bit of themselves in every personality type. In addition, there is not enough research and scientific evidence to properly back up the science of the MBTI test. To conclude, rather than be taken seriously, this test should be considered as more of a fun way to learn more about yourself. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.